And we cannot and should not take his birth. Yes, commonly. It's a serious thing, a wonderful gift that God allowed to happen when he allowed Jesus to be born through the miraculous way that he did it. Born to save his people. Well, if he was born to save his people, and it includes myself, there are some things that we have to do. And I'm going to say it starts first with obedience. I was really convicted again. It doesn't matter how old one can be. How old you are, we still have to know that we ain't there yet. Nobody's perfect. Whether you're a boy, girl, young, old, man, woman, whatever, we need Jesus. When I saw the writings that Cam gave, well, really, he was interviewed. When I looked at that boy's writing and from his heart, it did something to me. One part of that writing, and I'm going to get into my text, but I got to tell this, was he said, life is too short to be full of all kinds of mess against one another. He said, and I quote, when he flipped over, when he was hit, he said he didn't feel any pain then, but he sat there in awe as they worked on him. He said, because he said, I was supposed to be dead. You see? But the grace of God did it for him. And he went on to say, if any of you have anything against one another, you better get it out of your heart right now. Because you only have this moment. We get upset about everything, so just like that. Holding it against you, not speaking, and the church is not exempt. Your homes, he says, get with your folks, your family, because families are number one. We have people not who haven't spoken in years to one another. And I believe if you ask them, they don't even know how it started. So when I read that, but guess what? Oh, what a wonderful thing. I thank the Lord. This is coming from me. That he's seeing the light. But there was some dimness in my own life. Come on. And this morning, and I'm so sorry my daughter's not here yet, but I tell you what. This morning, I went out with my coat on. Wasn't quite dressed. I took some bags and put in the trunk of my car. And when I walked and opened the trunk, put them in, I turned around only to see my young neighbor looking at me, and I'm looking at her. Hadn't spoken since probably April. And so my hand went up, and the Holy Ghost came on.
Look out, girl.
And I ran. I didn't walk. I said, hi, darling. She said, how you doing? She said, my spirit just like yours, Miss Grant. She said, because I was thinking that it was time. But what happened was simple. I came home, with my suitcases in my hand or whatever after being somewhere. And I heard voices, and I saw a little girl in the yard, and I said, "Hi, baby." And then I went on with my bag. Then I heard another voice. So I stepped back. I said, "Who is that over there that I didn't speak to?" And she said, "It's me. I'm over here minding my business just like you ought to be minding yours." And you know what? Flesh said, "Leave it alone." And I said, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I got to tell this pastor." And I know it's a game. I want to see it too. Listen. Listen, listen. I said to her, I said, "Darling, I'm sorry if I interrupt you, but it won't happen again. Because I just love to speak to people." She didn't say any more, and I didn't say any more. So it's been like that. But it bothered me, and especially when I looked at the testimony of Cam, and I've been praying, and I said, you know, I'm not supposed to be like other people that have not proclaimed him. But I allowed it because I felt, of all the people, she's going to say that to me. You don't bite the hands that, you know, feed you and they love you and know you, you know. But then I said, you know, this morning, well, other people do it and you go on. Now, you can. And so anyway, that song, "I'm Free." Yeah. Thank you for saying, "I'm free."
Thank you, Lord.
I'm free. Yeah. Because no more shackles. I said I had some nerve to get up telling somebody about Jesus and what we ought not to do when we know we are supposed to forgive one another. Amen. Amen. Born to save his people. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Matthew 1. 1, and let's look at verse 21, and also if you make a little note, I want you to go to Luke, the 2nd chapter, and take a little, your pen, and put down Luke 2, and we're looking at verse 52. But I will be reading a few others from these readings. But right now, if we look at verse 1 and it was verse 1 and 21, wasn't it, in, Matthew, chapter 1. And let's read 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall," what? "Save his people from their sins." Now, let's read go to Luke 2, and we are going to look at 52 and other verses I'll be reading for your hearing later. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." You may be seated. Born to save his people. Much of Jesus' growth and his development is not found chronologically in the gospel. But we know that he was born, and after he was born, there was a period there of purification that Mary had to go through. And it took 8 days. So it means that he was still an infant. Now, it was awesome in that his development for grace and for mercy and for what the Lord allowed him to carry on his shoulders. It was a lot, but he was a little boy. So it meant that after the purification of his mother and they returned back home, and then he grew, and then soon he turned, 12 years old. During the year, they always had to make a journey for the Passover.
Yes.
During this time, Jesus, because of his study, his anointing that his Father had already put on him, he found it necessary and enjoyable to sit among the elders, learning, just as the youth go to school to learn the basics of life as it is in the books, and learning so that they can progress and move on to a higher level. Well, Jesus, with his already calling on him, he had a divine ness, because Jesus was truly human as well as what? Divine. But he was different in that he was not born of what? Sin. He had no sin. He grew in physical strength and with the mental understanding of the nature of heavenly things, while I believe because he had sisters and brothers, the Bible did not say when they were born or what steps or when, but the Bible does say he had brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
James, and then we had Joseph, Simeon, and it was another one, Judas. These were brothers. They were brothers. Now, I wonder, how did they make it in the house with a perfect, perfect brother? And they were what? That's the common. I wonder if there were conflicts. I wonder if there were jealousy. Because so many times, jealousy comes out of the fact that you are looking upon somebody else as being up, you know. In other words, more up and you are down, or more, you are lowly. They are smarter, or they have more money than you, or they have more anointing. Don't you know people get angry with others because of their anointing? Or because somebody can sing more? Jealousy. But I don't know, but Jesus, because of who he was, didn't have any problems. He grew. So now let us glimpse the glory and the humility of Christ. Jesus, even as a young boy, increased in wisdom. You know, we ought to increase in wisdom as we what? Study. And as we grow, many people do not. They can get old, but they have what? The lack of wisdom. But Jesus had favor with his Father. Jesus' maturity grew in wisdom and understanding, and he studied to show himself approved.
Yeah.
But as they journey to the Passover, Jesus disappeared. And It took 3 days. I don't know why it took so long, because if it had been my child, I would have missed him right away But the first day they missed him, they assumed that he was maybe in the crowd, perhaps with his brothers and other people. So they figured he would catch up, because it was custom of theirs in those days, that the women and children, what? They went forward. And the elders were behind. But here's the catch. If they had thought, they could have said, well, he's probably back there with the elders. Because they knew by nature how he studied, how he loved the scripture, reading the scriptures. But it took them 3 days before they turn around to go find where he was at. And if you look at verses 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, as I said, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned the child. But then, 44, we'll skip over. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again, as I said. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting where? In the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Sometimes a child know more than some adults. If you study and you're interested, you will ask questions, children, and you can become wise. We call it smart. And all those people, these elders that heard Jesus, they were surprised. They were astonished because of his knowledge. Yeah. Young people, you can surprise people. You can make us astonished at your knowledge. Because when you come into the presence of the word by coming to Sunday school and Bible studies, and reading God's word, you will learn. You will learn a lot. But when 48 says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, hast thou thus dealt with us? Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sound me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? He's saying, I was about my father's business. And they didn't really understand him at that time, saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now, when he spoke in that manner to his parents, he was not being disobedient. But that was the anointing that he had. And that's why his mother pondered and was wondering, like, yeah, what's wrong with that boy? What's gotten in that boy? But one thing, he didn't get a beating. Thank God. She kept all those things, what, to herself. And as he increased in wisdom, he did many things. His ministry start, born to save his people. What made Jesus so great? Was it his family's background from the lineage of David and Solomon? Was it that he was born of a virgin? Was it all the miracles that he performed during his early ministry? Was it bragging rights that just to touch the hem of his garment, that the woman was saved? Was it not that he knew everything about everything and about everyone? Many times we get the bragging about what we have, who we are, who my parents were. Cam Newton could have bragged about how rich he was, but when God had him see the light, so to speak, he knew it was the saving grace of Almighty God. It isn't what you have, but it is the attitude of thanksgiving that you give to the one who gave it to you in the first place. It is the attitude of thanksgiving and praises to the one and almighty God, who without him we have nothing. We are nothing. Hallelujah. It wasn't the feeding of the thousands of people or the walking on water that made him great. It was significance in his teaching and his miracles. But it wasn't that. His thing was to save his people from damnation, from sin. It was because he loved his father's children. The angel said, he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus came not only to deliver us from a series of wrongful action, but to transfuse us with his godly nature. He wants us to be like him. Our new life in Christ will result in new attitudes and values, new ways of walking and talking. Because if you say you've been born again and you've saved, then you ought to have a newness. Something about you ought to let you know when you are wrong or you have sinned. And then you will be able, what? To go back and correct it. Have mercy on the ones that think they can go through life hating, envying, backbiting, and say, I am saved. I know Jesus. I talk to him every day. But what you haven't said, I wonder if he hears. Should he hear you? What have you given to him? What kind of gift did you bring to him? Did you bring him gifts? Or did you give one another gifts? Yes, the giving of gifts are wonderful. But the focus ought to be on the one who allowed you to have the necessary means to give gifts. And then you must or should examine those to whom you give. Because there are many who are not able to have as much as you have. So the Lord wants us to be merciful and to be kind and compassionate to one another. We should feed the hunger. We should visit those in prison, the poor, the shut in. We should be more thinking about others than ourselves. Instead of you gave me this, I paid this much for you. And I tell you, you know the attitude. Remember, I said it's all right to give. But it's better, it's all right to receive and give. But isn't it better to make the Lord happy every once in a while by doing for others. The more you give, the more you receive. The birth of Jesus symbolizes that all who follow him will also be born into new, abundant life, created within them by the same Holy Spirit who created the life-saving Lord that jumped in, and not jumped, but was born of Mary. Yeah, he got out there. But great and loving, our loving Savior came to transform us. We should not wait until a tragedy or something happened out of the ordinary. But we should be happy to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Yes. Why? Because Jesus loved us. And he came to save us. I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many that are the cloak, or what do you call it, a closet Christians. They have no spunk. All they want to do is be seen in a pleasant and seemingly holy way. But where is your praise? I will thank the Lord and at all times. I will praise him. I will give him praises even when I don't even feel like it. Because I'll praise myself through the problem. I'll praise him when I'm hurting. I'll praise him when I don't know where I'm going to get gas money. Because in giving him praise, y'all, you are asking the Lord or telling him you thank him for where you are at. Yeah, yeah, and then with hopes, he will supply your needs. I will praise him in the morning. I will praise him in the midnight hour. I'll praise him when my leg hurt. Let me tell you something. I know it was only a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months, when I didn't know that I'd be able to walk without a cane or without help. I hurt so bad, and the doctor said, you know, they gave it a name. They gave it a name. I forget what it is, but I tell you what, the cartilages in my left knee made my knee look like it wasn't a knee. There was a little bones just sticking there in the front, just sticking out. Nothing around it. I could take my fingers and just pull it. I mean, nothing. And I started praising God. I am not going to be a... No, 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 no. In the name of Jesus, I want healing, and I want it now, Lord. You did it for me once before, and you'll do it again. I said, send down cartilages. Rebuild this knee. And I kept on, and when I came to church that morning, on that knee, yes, sir, I am healed. And guess what? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, something happened. Yeah. There's newness. I got a handful of knee. Yeah. I tell you, that little thing that was sticking there is knee in the name of Jesus. I'll give him the praise. I'm telling you, if you want healing, praise the Lord. Praise him when your back is down. Thank him. That's why I love Cam. Cam saw the light. Cam knew that the Lord had something else for him to do. And he said, I won't keep it to myself. He could have. He could have said, well, hey, I'm a quarterback. I'm not going to let people know that I feel this way. He said, I want to help somebody. Can I help somebody today? Give God his glory. Because that's all you have to give him. I tell you, if you turn to Michael, I think, Michael 6th chapter. That's a favorite, Michael 6 and 8. I believe 6 and 8. Yes. He says, he's talking about God. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do what? Justly. And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. He said nothing about being stuck up or prideful. You better get up here and give God some praise. Because without God, you have nothing. He said, bless the Lord. Bless me at all times. What else do you have to give him? What kind of gift do you have for him? Nothing what but praises and humility. I thank him. I thank you. And I dare you to praise him like that. You want healing? Forgive. Forgive. Because you know what? Even if you have a falsified, this is my name. I know we got English teachers up here and everybody said falsified. If your praise is false, you praise and ask the Lord to enter into your spirit. Have mercy on me, O Lord, like David said. Have mercy on me according to my transgression. He said, blot out my transgression. And he also says, I'm paraphrasing, renew in me a clean heart. Renew. Because he has been born. And he said, he came that we might have life and have life abundantly. We thank him. And we give him the praise because God is deserving of our praise. We can never praise him enough. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for all he has done. We cannot give him money for gifts. We can't give him what we think that just to be in the number and haphazardly come and work. You know, I get so tired after looking and hearing people having to be beg to do God's work. Beg! And if you get a volunteer, they come haphazardly. But if you got some money to give them, they'll find some kind of way to come and do something. But God got your number. God knows all about it. You give little, you get back little. You give bountifully, and that's in anything, you get bountifully. To God be the glory. For all that he has done and continue to do. It may